Welcome to Orphans No More, a media extension of Justice for Orphans, a ministry dedicated to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless, inspiring, educating, and equipping believers to care for vulnerable children, and supporting those who have heard and heeded the call of James 1:27. Here's your host, Sandra Flack.
Jesus said, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." That is John chapter 15, verse 5, one of my all-time favorite verses. Welcome to Orphans No More, a podcast to encourage, educate, and equip you to care for children in crisis through adoption, foster care, and family preservation. I am your host, Sandra Flack. Thank you for joining us for episode 265. I'm just amazed we're at 265. This podcast started off several years back on Christian Talk Radio, and now we are all podcast, and we just keep counting the episodes, and we're just so grateful to have an opportunity to share with you and to encourage you. And I'm trying to not talk too fast today because I am highly caffeinated. I am a coffee drinker. And several years back, my oldest son, my firstborn son, and his wife started roasting coffee beans and providing me with coffee beans, fresh roasted coffee beans, and I grind them and I drink coffee. And I confess I'm a coffee snob. I really don't drink coffee too many other places because once you've had fresh roasted, fresh ground coffee, there is nothing like it. And they recently opened a cafe in our community, a coffee shop, and I just came from there. And normally I like fresh French press coffee. I make my own French press at home. And but today I decided to try a latte, and I don't usually do the fancy schmancy kind of drinks, but I got a mocha latte and it was so yummy and it went down so smooth, so fast. I thought, I'll just get another one of these for the road. And my son said, "Mom, that has espresso in it. You can't have another one." So I'm like, oh, okay. Well then, so I have had espresso right before recording this. So I'm going to try to not talk too fast, but there's a little glimpse into how my day has been going so far. But let me get back to John 15:5. I said that it's one of my all-time favorite verses. The whole chapter 15, really. And lately, I'm really drawn to verse 5 in my morning prayer time. I always do acknowledge, you know, that apart from the Lord, I can do nothing. So I ask him every day to equip me. I know I cannot do everything on my to-do list without him, apart from him. And I want to glorify him. I want to walk in his purposes for my life. But lately, I've realized that maybe I'm quick to acknowledge that I need him to do everything, but then I'm off and running, you know, doing the to-do list. And really, as I've meditated lately on that verse, I need to park on the first part, the remaining in him part. What does it mean to remain in him? So I looked that up in the dictionary. The word remain means to stay in the place that one has been occupying. And before I get on with our topic today, I just want to share, because I looked up in the New Living Translation Study Bible about what it means to remain in Christ. And I'll just share what that says. It says one of Jesus's favorite words was meno, often translated remain, stay, or abide. It describes a profound, intimate, and enduring relationship. Jesus described how the Son is in the Father and the Father is in the Son. Likewise, when we remain in Christ, the Son is in us and we are in the Father and the Son. The mutual indwelling between God and the believer is not a fleeting or temporary commitment, but an enduring, permanent, and eternal relationship. Well, I'm faithful to have my quiet time with the Lord in the morning. It's a long-standing discipline that I've had. And I ask Him to help me with my day and, you know, lift people up in prayer and all of that. But then I often jump up and tackle the day, maybe not completely forgetting, right, about Him, but at times not entirely focusing on remaining or abiding. What about that intimate and enduring relationship? My husband and I have been married for next month. It'll be 34 years. We kiss goodbye every morning when he leaves for work. We've made it a habit of texting each other throughout the day. I consider him when I plan meals and you know, plan out our calendar and in the week's events. We greet each other with a kiss when he comes home from work, and we chat about our day, and we are intentional about going to bed at the same time together each night. We're intentional about weekend morning coffee time. Only Saturday and Sunday are the only 2 days a week that we can enjoy coffee together in the morning because he leaves for work very early. These are the elements of an intimate love relationship: intentional time together, consideration, communication, and expressions of love. That's what remaining in an enduring, permanent, and eternal relationship with God should look like too. Then, from that place, we are empowered by the indwelling Holy Spirit to do those things He's called us to do. He equips us. Like, we need His equipping, we need His help caring for our children from hard places, right? So how about you? How do you remain or abide in Christ throughout the day? How is he sustaining you throughout your days? And we know our days can be very hard with our kiddos, right? So you could let me know by sending me an email. You can email me directly at sandraflack@gmail.com. And you'll get the email goes right to my inbox. That's my personal email that I use for this ministry. So I do want to hear from you. I love it when I hear from listeners. So please just take the time to shoot me a quick email. And speaking of quick emails, I finally have a winner for the Riley the Brave book. Sandy Bessenfelder from Greene County, New York, won the book. So I'm going to be sending out Riley the Brave to Sandy. She is an adoptive and foster mom with little ones. And I know she could really, she'll be blessed by that book and helping her kiddos. Speaking of books, I have an update on my soon-to-be-released book, Orphans No More, A Journey Back to the Father. I'm so excited. I just received 8 amazing endorsements from key adoption and foster care leaders. I sent out a digital version to some pre-readers that I really wanted their input. I really wanted to hear what they had to say about what I wrote. Let me tell you, writing a book is a very vulnerable thing to do because that book has been inside me for years. Then it was out on paper, and then now I'm actually sharing it with people. So they're reading really what has been in my heart for so long. But the amazing Jane Schooler, Karen Springs, Ruby Johnston, Kathleen Guire, and Kim DeBlaycourt, just to name a few, have all endorsed the book. And you get to read their endorsements when you pick up a copy of the book. And the foreword was written by Jody Jackson Tucker. She is the International Director of Orphan Sunday for CAFO, Christian Alliance for Orphans. So I'm just so excited to have the endorsement and the backing of these amazing individuals. They're adoptive moms primarily and in this ministry. And I'm just honored and blessed that they read it, that they loved it, and that they're endorsing it. So stay tuned for news on when you can pre-order a copy of the book, and I will be giving away a signed copy for our podcast listeners as well. Now, today, I am going to share more fetal alcohol spectrum disorder facts from the FAFASD.org website. You can download all 50 facts at FAFASD.org/50facts. And of course, I will put a link to that in the show notes for this episode. And today, it's just me. I don't have a guest. I just really had some things on my heart that I wanted to share with you. Focusing on FASD today, I talk a lot about FASD because as a mom of 8 kids, 5 through adoption, my youngest 2 are diagnosed with an FASD. I understand the difficult journey parenting kids with trauma histories. My 2 youngest are also teenagers, a time when individuals with an FASD really struggle, and they have been really struggling. So I've been diving deep into learning everything I can to help them and to help my husband and I help them, but also to help you. Many of our listeners are foster and adoptive parents, so the topic of FASD is of vital importance to you as well. And in April, next month, I will be taking a 6-week course through FACETS on FASD. It's training for parents and professionals, and I will be sharing with you what I learn, and I hope to get a trainer from FACETS even as a guest on this podcast. So I've shared the FASD facts in several of our past episodes. If you've been listening to this show, or if you're a new listener, over the past several months, I've covered this topic pretty extensively. FASD is not the only thing we talk about, but it's definitely relevant because so many, I believe it's like 80% of individuals, kids with an FASD are in foster care. So it's practically a guarantee if you're a foster parent, if you adopt through foster care, you're going to have kids in your home who have been exposed to alcohol in the womb. So that's why it is relevant. So let me get to fact number 33. We're going to take the time today to cover 33 and 34. So 33 goes like this. Shame and stigma around alcohol use during pregnancy is a barrier to care for those living with FASDs. Prevention-focused messages perpetrate this stigma. Stigma towards mothers whose children were exposed to alcohol in utero extends to their children with FASDs. Stigma guides policy decisions, funding, diagnoses, identification, and support in a negative way for the mothers of people with FASDs and their children. Now, I know most of our listeners are foster and adoptive parents. You didn't give birth to the child or children, whether they're diagnosed or not, and maybe you're not even sure if the kids in your home have an FASD. But if you are parenting a kiddo with an FASD, you may be interacting with their birth mom, right? And if that birth mom spent time in foster care herself, she could likely have an FASD. It's a systemic issue. We need to love on and not shame or blame our kids or their birth mom. And it's not just individuals within the foster and adoption community affected by alcohol consumption during pregnancy. Research shows that 1 in 20 babies born in the United States has been exposed to alcohol in the womb. And 50% of all pregnancies in the United States are unplanned. Now, drinking among American women during COVID has increased, I believe, 41%. And while some people joked that COVID would probably cause a baby boom with everyone home and together, so far 2021, and here we are a year later, right, out of COVID, well, we're still sort of in COVID, but a year from when this all really began, 2021 so far is really seeing a baby bust, less pregnancies than since 1985, which might be good news considering the increase in drinking. A birth mom does not have to be an alcoholic to give birth to a baby with an FASD. Most women don't know, and many obstetricians don't warn, that there is no known safe amount of alcohol for a pregnant mom to consume. Now, alcohol passes through the placenta. So this is the rule of thumb. If mom drinks alcohol, baby drinks alcohol. Okay? Shame and stigma does not help anyone. We need to love and extend grace to our kids who have this brain-based disability, but also to their birth moms, whether they came to you through foster care or my children were internationally adopted and the country of their origin is alcoholism is a pretty big widespread issue there. We knew going in that FASD was likely because of that. And like I said, our youngest two have been diagnosed. But we have an adult daughter who, she checks every box practically for an FASD. And she was a kinship adoption. She wasn't in foster care. She wasn't internationally adopted. She was born to a mom who was in her 30s, who had health issues and was told she could not have children. So when she was probably at least 2 to 3 months pregnant by the time she realized she was pregnant, and she had been drinking socially, regularly up to that point. So even if it was just every weekend for the first 8 to 12 weeks of a pregnancy, the damage is done. So there is no known safe amount of alcohol for a pregnant mom to consume during pregnancy. But so many don't know. And I've even just heard folks, millennials, different individuals who talk about these things. And I've heard people say, well, my doctor said one glass of wine on occasion is fine, or, that kind of thing. Or if you're in your third trimester, if you're at the end of your pregnancy, it's okay because everything's developed. But there is no known safe amount of alcohol. So the best thing to do is to not consume alcohol during your pregnancy, and not consume alcohol probably if you plan to get pregnant in the very near future. But either way, it is really, we need to love on our kids who are victims of this and their birth moms, because shame and stigma does not help anyone. No shame, no blame, just lots of advocacy, education, and love. Right? Okay, so that's going to bring us to FASD fact number 34. Myths about FASD create barriers to helping people with FASDs. So here's a myth. Nothing works for people with FASDs. The reality? We cannot cure the brain differences caused by FASDs, but understanding FASD and its impact on the brain, recognizing the associated behavioral symptoms, and responding with accommodations and environmental change creates positive change for people with FASDs and their families. So, an FASD does not suddenly go away. If you're parenting a child, a teen with an FASD, or if you suspect an FASD, our kids are not going to turn 18 or 21 and voila, they are ready to live independently, hold down a job, pay the bills, get married, have a family, be successful, and live happily ever after. Now, I don't mean to be negative here. While some will be able to do those normal things that neurotypical individuals can do, many of our kiddos will not. My 17 and 15-year-olds will always need someone watching over them, helping them with managing money, making sure they're not being taken advantage of by others. My 17-year-old might be able to live independently somewhat with some family support. Like, he's always going to need somebody watching out for him and checking on him and helping him. But we've come to realize that our 15-year-old will most likely remain with us or another family member, which we've made arrangements for. But to say that nothing works and that they won't ever be successful at something, that isn't true. My 17-year-old can work with his hands. He welds, he builds, he makes things out of wood. He can do a trade, but will just need help navigating daily life. He doesn't make wise choices with food. He doesn't spend money wisely. He does not have a good understanding on how money works and how budgeting and bill paying and all that works. And, you know, he's driving an old secondhand vehicle that he just has been abusing, really, right? Donuts and burnouts aren't really good for a vehicle. So it's not running right. And he just thinks, well, I just need to buy a new one, you know? So there are, you know, those, the way his brain thinks is different and doesn't necessarily come to the logical conclusions that a neurotypical brain would come to. So he just, he's always going to need some help and some supports. Children with an FASD grow up to become adults with an FASD, but who can lead productive lives. The key to their success is the support of caregivers and other adults investing into their lives. And that's us. And the more we know and understand about FASD, the more we will be able to help our kids be successful. Now, like I said, I am going to put a link to FAFASD.org/50facts in the show notes for this episode. I love the 50 facts. If you just go to that website, you'll see a list of 50 facts, but there is a button that you can click where it actually presents them in a slide deck. And I printed them off. So there's 50 slides. They're colorful, and every fact and then solution to that fact is on that slide. So they're really great. It's a really, really great resource and lots of great information. So we are up to number 34. I plan on continuing to share here and there a fact here or a few. Every so often I do a solo episode like this where I can cover two or three. I'm going to continue to do that until we get through all 50. And I'm hoping that you're learning from them. I know I am learning from them. Folks, I am not a professional on FASD, but I am a parent with lived experience, with, you know, 25 years of lived experience. Many of those early years, I didn't even know what I was dealing with or what we were living with that we do now. But from that experience, from raising my kiddos, from learning everything I can so I can advocate for them and understand them and parent them and teach them and raise them, it makes me want to learn even more. So I'm taking that FACETS training. I'm reading lots of books. I'm listening to tons of podcasts. And everything that I'm learning, I am sharing with you all because I know how relevant this topic is. And it's vital that we are all educated. And as parents, as caregivers, as advocates for our kids, we need to be educated. But I cannot stress enough how vital it is that we educate everybody else around our kids. Teachers, bus drivers, administrators, youth group leaders, Sunday school or children's church, teachers and leaders, pastors, church leadership, counselors, social workers. Don't just assume that a counselor or a social worker or a special education teacher understands or knows anything about fetal alcohol spectrum disorder. They might know a little bit about lots of different disorders and things, but there is not a lot out there, and it's not really taught, at least up till now, in universities and colleges and grad schools and places like that. So they're barely scratching the surface on this. So it is vital that we become the experts, because we're the parents. We become the experts so we can advocate for our kids and train everybody else, because everybody needs to know. And FASD is actually more prevalent than autism. And everybody kind of knows something about autism, but there's much less known, and it's much so underdiagnosed. And we're going to be talking more and more about these things as we do move forward. And there are some great podcasts out there that focus specifically on FASD that I listen to. I listen to podcasts every day when I'm getting ready, putting my makeup on, doing my hair, driving in the car, whatever I'm doing. I listen to podcasts like Natalie Vecchione's FASD Hope, Jeff Noble's FASD Success. I listen to the Empowered Parent podcast with Ryan and Kayla North, and my dear friend Kathleen Guire of the Positive Adoption podcast. I listen to these other podcasts because I need to be filled up all the time, and I need to keep my toolbox full, and I need to have my tank full so that I have, the resources that I need to go throughout my day to help me be successful with my kids. So, I'm grateful that you are listening to this podcast, and my hope is that you are encouraged through it and that you're learning things through it. And I want you to continue listening to it, of course, but I want you to know that there are also the FASD Hope and FASD Success podcasts are specifically about FASD. And the other podcasts that I mentioned are trauma-based, so they could be they'll cover FASD and trauma and some other things like that. And then, my goodness, I think I left out Mike and Kristen Berry's Honestly Adoption podcast. That's another one. They talk about FASD, trauma, and all of those things. So there are some excellent resources out there, and we don't always all have time to sit down with a book. If you sit down with a book sometimes at night, you don't even make it through a paragraph and you're like sound asleep. But we're all driving, we're all showering and doing our hair and brushing our teeth and making our bed and doing the laundry and making dinner. Those are all very convenient times to listen to podcasts, and they will help educate you. So I encourage you to do that. And be sure to check out the episodes I collaborated on with Kathleen Guire for her podcast, Positive Adoption. If you ever wanted to sit down and have coffee with two veteran adoptive moms, you will love these short episodes. She calls them coffee break podcasts. They're only really about 15 minutes long each, and we had so much fun recording them. You can find them on your favorite podcast platform by searching Positive Adoption, and we collaborated on all of her episodes for this March, for February, and I think we even covered, I think we did January, her episodes of in January were the two of us together. So January, February, March, we had an amazing time. So I hope you'll check them out at Positive Adoption. If you were inspired by today's show, please subscribe and leave a 5-star review. When you do, it boosts us up in the algorithm so that more podcast listeners can find us. And please share it on your social media and with your fellow foster and adoptive parent friends so they can be encouraged too. Check out my social media. You can find me on Facebook at Sandra Flack and on Facebook and Instagram at Justice for Orphans. Our ministry, Justice for Orphans, but you can go on to our website, you can go on to our social media and check out some of the ministry work that we've been doing, including how we just celebrated National Social Worker Month with our local county caseworkers. We have two local counties here that we do that do Care Portal with us. So we're serving children and families in crisis. Our local churches are using our Care Portal platform to reach out and help children and families in crisis. And we just honored our social workers that we've been working with, and we had a blast doing that. So check that out. You can see pictures online. And you can always email me directly by just emailing me, Sandra Flack, JFO, at gmail.com. So thank you again for joining me for this episode of Orphans No More, episode number 265. I am thrilled to have you along for the journey.
Thank you for listening to Orphans No More, for sharing what you've heard and praying for vulnerable children everywhere. We hope you are inspired to walk out James 1:27 in whatever way God calls you. For more information, visit justicefororphansny.org.